Show me what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. That is the greatest privilege any man may have. And then you see, I owe so much to America. For the Frank Bookman who first pointed me to Christ, I regret I rejected him. Billy Graham then pointed me to Christ, and I received Christ to his God. Then that wonderful Christian, Dawson Chapman, was so much used to stabilize me in my early days. And then someone very well known to you, who recently died, Bill Gilroy, a businessman, a Christian over here, with whom I had the very deepest fellowship. So I am, in my own life, so very grateful to America, and to the fellowship I received, and to the friendship that I have. I can't be grateful enough. This morning, I'm going to talk an awful lot about myself. If I give you any idea whatsoever that I think I've accomplished anything in my life, please forgive me. I have never accomplished anything worthwhile except in the power of Jesus Christ. And I'm more convinced of that than anything else. I was brought up in a Christian home. I was taught to say my prayers, read my Bible, and go to church. I could never be grateful enough to my mother for all the Bible stories she taught me on her knees, all the various things that I learned in my home. To get to know none of it meant anything to me. As I grew up, I still was a nominal Christian, just going to church because that's what I think to do. In my late teens, I responded to Christ and I rejected Christ. I had all sorts of excuses to Frank Bookman. I didn't agree with that group. I didn't agree with this. I didn't agree with that. But the point was, I knew something wasn't a bad place to issue. It wasn't very long after this before I realized that drink had beaten me. But I was an alcoholic. For something like 18 to 20 years, I was more drunk than sober, although no one realized. Drink was my very God. I put myself into home after home in a lot of years to try and stop it, but I just couldn't. I was tired. And then a doctor showed me how to stop. He pointed out to me that I couldn't take alcohol any more than a diabetic could take sugar. I had nothing to be ashamed of. I just couldn't drink. Well, for 2 years, everything went splendidly. Then I used to go into the pub and drink tomato juice and Worcester sauce half and half. And when people used to say, well, how did you do that? Well, I said, my tummy would say, tickle the gin, and I could. And I just boasted. And then one day, I was way off in Ireland, and it was a wet day, it was a nasty day, the chap I was with was ill, everything was all wrong. And I had a tremendous craving to drink. I saw two jets that kept having their gin, and I thought, all you want is a double gin and tonic. Well, I knew that if I had one drink, it wouldn't be enough, and that 20 would be too few. I know if I went home, I would be drunk, and my wife would leave me because she said she would, because of the children, and how right she would have been. I knew I should have been turned out of our business. Well, my cousin said they weren't going to have any more of it. And our business meant a lot to us when we were dealing with it and fired us down for 252 years. But I knew and remembered what Frank Bookman had said. Whatever you're really up against, will you tell your conception of God that you're beat? Well, I went into the bathroom and I knelt down and I said, Lord, I'm going out to get drunk. I said, God, if there is a God, I'm going out to get drunk and if you stop me. And I got up and I went straight out to the bar with double gin and tonic on my lips. And I asked for a dry ginger ale. I've never been so surprised in my life. I went home and I told my cousin and I told my wife. And I said, you know, there's something in this religious business. And then I started to say my prayers again, to go to church, to read my Bible, to do good works, and our plans, because I thought the good works, to all the glory of our disciples. But you know, it meant nothing to me. And then I heard the Billy Graham was coming. Well, I thought he might do some of the church good in the plant, so I'd go up and see what it was like. Well, I went up to Harrisburg where he was speaking. I was infuriated. Everybody looked so happy. Have you ever been amongst a bunch of guys who don't look happy and you don't? I wonder if some of you here are wondering why we're so happy. Well, because you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why that happened. And then I remember somebody blowing on the trumpet, and there were all sorts of things that were simply fight for American actions, much worse than my English one. And I said, oh, thank God I haven't brought any of that church here to hear this. Anyhow, Billy stood up, and I can remember his voice ringing out, my God and my Father. And I said to myself, this man knows God. Is he not good enough? I don't remember what Billy did. I couldn't tell you a word of it except this. But at the end, I can hear his voice ringing out now. If Jesus Christ could carry his cross to Calvary for you, cannot you give him everything you've got? My little world stood still. It seemed to me that all the people in our plant were looking at me, saying, yes, your business is your God. My children seemed to be looking at me, and they didn't look very nicely at me. And I realized I had to give everything I had to this Christ which Billy was talking about. Now I was standing next to my wife. I had promised her I wouldn't go forward or do anything silly like that. How was I to start a new life when I knew I had to go forward to let people know that I had asked Christ into my life? Well, I've given my business to Christ. I've given my family, my life, and everything. I was prepared to go out to the middle of Sahara and preach if God wanted me to. But there was my wife, and I made a promise. So I turned to her to ask her what I was to do, but I said nothing. Because she took my arm and said, darling, here goes. You know, you can give God nothing. As we went forward together, so he gave me back my wife. And that night, we started our first real honeymoon. And it's still going on. Because there was no master in our house except Christ. He gave me back our business. Well, it was the first time I really knew I should be there. Because it had to be run the way Jesus Christ wanted it run, and in no other way. I must admit that when I went home, I wondered whether in the morning I wouldn't wake up and feel I'd made an awful jump at it. But I didn't. All I wanted to do in the morning was to get out of bed and say, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. Because of an enormous weight of being lifted from my bed. Now, a few days after this, I went home to tea. Now, we have a meal in England called tea, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, I went home to tea from the office. Well, I'd never gone home to tea before, because 10 minutes of bed was too much for the children, and 10 minutes for the children was too much for bed. And I remember when I got home, my wife was pouring the water into the teapot, and she said, darling, I'm so glad you've come home. So I said, what's the matter? Like shoes or something? He said, no. He said, well, the children have been naughty all day long. They've been asking for you all day long. He said, don't you realize that since you went forward in Hellinger, they're always asking for you? Don't you realize that you can do anything you like with them? Don't you realize that this is the first time we've ever wanted you home to see? If you're a good father, or you think you are, if you think you're a good mother, and you're told that, that is the first time you've been wanted home, what would your gratitude be to God? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, the children reacted differently to me. Because I had a love there, which had never been there before. A deep love. A love for which nothing can possibly break. And I reacted differently to them. How desperately important it is, our reaction to people, isn't it? Here is what Jesus Christ in the leper. Jesus healed the leper. All he had to say was be clean. But he didn't. He put his hand out and touched the untouchable. He loved him and saw right through him. Here is what the love Jesus had to his disciples, even though he knew that they were going to deserve it. His reaction to everything was love. How basic. Well, when I went to the office, I thought it was all going to be very easy. I only had to walk on the plant and tell people about Jesus and where the flowers would be found. But not a bit of it. I thought I'd be a bit square. But I was very much easier to live with. Well, I did not know how to deal with this situation of bringing people to Christ in our flesh. And I sat in my office one day and prayed. And I said, Lord, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. And as I was praying, the door opened, and round the corner came a head with a smile on it. And he said, I'm sorry, I've come to the wrong office. I said, no, it doesn't happen. Come right in. And he said, well, I've come to the job. Well, I just told him what Christ had meant to me. He didn't have a word, a chance to say anything. I just told him what Jesus meant. And he said, this is quite extraordinary. He said, I have been praying for a fortnight that I may find somewhere where I may work, where my work may be a witness of Jesus Christ. I said, the job's yours. And he worked in every department in our staff. And wherever he went, I got the same thing from his fault. Arthur is not very good because he's rather slow. Oh, but don't take him away there. He does something to us all. I cannot tell you what I owe to that man for his silent witness in the factory, the guidance he gave me, the way he started me in my Bible study, and for the fellowship I enjoyed with every morning when we get to the plant first and start the day in prayer together. A fellowship which no one can really do without. In our board of directors, the only that let me give you any false impression that they were unethically Christian, our business has always been run in the safest possible way. But when they heard that Adams was going around the country saying he'd been drinking for 20 years and he now wasn't, except they started to get a bit nervous. But after all, he's so much easier to live with, isn't he? They didn't do much about it. Until at last they realized that Ernest really had got something. And that something was Jesus Christ. I hadn't been going long before a pastor friend of mine said, Ernest, we have a prayer with your people. I said, people don't be bad. They beat me mad. Oh, no, he said they wouldn't. You've got the prayers of men. Praying them in the plant, praying in the office. And I said, not in your life. Well, one day, one of our foremen died, and I had to go around and see his wife, and Mrs. Holden. And I talked to her about this and that, and something said to me, you've got the prayer with her. I said, no, I'm not going to. I tried to get out through that door, but she moved in the way. When she did move in the way, out of the way, someone else came in. I said, well, I don't think a more stumbling and helpless cry has ever been said. If you know not what we say, it's what the Lord Jesus Christ interprets in the people's prayers. I heard afterwards that you expected the thousands of prayers, but you hadn't expected this for others to pray. And that has meant everything to us. And it put the death of our husband in a different perspective. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ is not me. I found since then, too, that this witness of prayer, do we really believe that Jesus Christ answers prayer? Do we really believe? Do we take him at his face value? Because he's got it. I find I have something to offer the people now when they come to me in trouble, not just money and advice. I have Jesus Christ to offer them, the Christ of today, the living Lord. And I don't know why, I still find it, isn't it awful? Well, if you're the chap, you think he's going to laugh at you. Or the girl is going to laugh at you. The daughter had an illegitimate baby, or the wife is leaving him, or they've had a fire, something awful happened. Well, I find that the Lord never lets you down. Take that problem in prayer to him. And I've had people come back and back again and say, thank you, sir, for that prayer. Perhaps it doesn't answer in the way we pray. But one man said to me, your prayer put it in the right perspective. God knows best. I said to the doctor, rang me up one day and said, little baby Stevens is going to die. There's not put it in nothing we can do for her. Will you get your prayer group prayed? So we started a prayer. How good started a prayer. And in the morning, what happened? They couldn't understand it. At 12 o'clock, she got better. They almost felt they'd made a wrong diagnosis. And they checked it all again, but they hadn't. Was that God? Well, folks, I could go on and on. Until the war was on. Telling you how he would take Jesus Christ to be safe better. You will never, never be let down. Short while ago, I asked the superintendent, asked if I would speak to some of our beginners. I said, why George? Who is your job? So you know what I want you to do. And after this time, he said, this religion business is all right for you, sir. You used to be. So I don't think we really want it. Then I said, George, why do you want me to talk to these chaps? And he said, well, I want you to tell them. You're the boss to tell them. But we are trying to run this business in the way God wants it run. Can you be more grateful than that? Let us not forget that before Jesus Christ started his verbal ministry, as God the Father said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Why? I feel quite sure, because Jesus Christ worked as a carpenter. His behavior, everything he did, is so superb. Our work has got to be so superb. I found the other day that one of our supervisors was missing. He wasn't there. Where was he? Oh, he'd gone off with one of the boys. Well, this boy had no mother, his father was a drunk and had left him, and the poor kid was left with no drinks, nowhere to go, no clothes, which are fit for anybody to take him in. His supervisor, Jimmy Arnell, had taken the boy home, had washed him, his wife had returned his clothes for him, had washed him, and he'd taken him down and put him in some Christian goods. Is that worthwhile? Why, it's worth $10 million on the balance sheet. Then one can go ahead so quickly and think, what a wonderful Christian you are. That's happened to me so many times. But I'm beginning to be mighty cautious. I've been asked about 2 years ago to talk to a lot of clergy. I thought, really fine. I'll give you a chance to tell me what it really was. And I was just dancing with God. And our nursing sister came in, passing the amendment to a very, very junior person to me. And he stood in front of me, one leg and the other, and she went scarlet. I said, "Sister, what is the matter?" She said, "Mr. Ellis, aren't you going into a wonderful Christian?" I said, "Oh, yeah. What makes you think that?" She said, "You're growing so tall. One day will blow over because you have no roots. So forget all these thoughts. Get down to it and read your Bible and say a prayer." And she flew from the room. Never have I been more grateful to anyone than I was to her, that I was able to go to that meeting feeling so humble that Jesus Christ was able to speak to me. Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you. A reason of our hope in you is within you, with meekness you bear." It is a question each day, are we sanctifying ourselves? So we can really tell people what we stand for. I find that when new objectives are joining us, I have to tell them exactly what we stand for. That we are trying to run this business the way Jesus Christ was running. That is our standard. But Jesus Christ is on the board. You can't subscribe to that kind of stuff. I don't ask them to have a certain theological opinion. I don't ask them to be Christian. But I merely tell them that Jesus Christ is on our board. The same with our sales representatives. When they're going out, I tell you, the sale is not their first job. Their first job is that when they leave a shop, the buyer there will say, "Well, I all the better for seeing that man." I've asked so many times, how can you be a businessman and a Christian? Well, the plain answer is that you can't. As you try to be, you'll be utterly miserable. But you can be a Christian who is a businessman. Peter again says, "And you which believe, he Christ is present. But unto them which are disobedient, which are disobedient, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense." Is Christ precious to you in your business, in your home, the same business, whatever job you're doing, housewife, nanny? Is Christ precious in your business? Well, I only know that I would break physically and mentally without you. I just couldn't stay. Is Christ a stumbling block in your business? Shall you get him away? To me, he's been a helpmate over a thousand times. I love him with all my heart. And when I see how I treat him sometimes, it breaks my heart. You know, working with Jesus Christ is all or nothing. When you're going about, you so frequently hear people say, "Who was Jesus Christ?" The answer today is, "Who is Jesus Christ?" In our lobby, in our plans, we have written up, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, how we fail, so many of us every day, to make Jesus the way. But believe me, there are many of us at all levels who are endeavoring to make him the way. You know, some of us are Sunday Christians. That's an awful thing to be. Some of us are church Christians. Now, I make no apology for it. You're doing the same thing. The same quotation was made last night. because it was given to me several days ago. And it is of such vital importance to all of us here. And it's in Revelation 3, 15 and 16. Jesus talking with that man is saying, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Therefore, dare we take this gift. It's an utter insult to Jesus Christ. A complete insult. There's no other word to it. Unless we carry him into our business and into our lives and into our homes. Our last speaker reminded me so much of a friend who visited us with a clergyman in a country. And he was so pleased to tell him he started the day in prayer. He said, yes, but do you start the day, do you end the day in prayer before you go home? Are you carrying Christ not only into your business but in your home? If we believe in Jesus Christ and his faith in his faith, there you are. If any of you had a share for cancer in your pocket and your new family was dying of cancer, would you keep it in your pocket? If Jesus Christ died and his death was worthwhile, he died because it was a hell. And don't let any of us forget it. Hell, utter and complete separation from God. Are you going to let people go into eternity because you're frightened of what you're going to say? I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. I get utter worry sometimes. I'm fighting with somebody. I'm fighting with their laugh at me. I'm fighting with their sneer at me. Well, when we do that, we are crucifying Jesus Christ again. And I will never forget that Jesus Christ died for us in agony on a cross. It is a cross which is protecting God's righteousness while he's a gift. Now I leave one parting thought with you. It's a cross. A symbol that you worship, a little symbol in your heart, or perhaps a little thing you see stuck up in your chest, or in a place you see. We all have to come to the cross of Christ, every one of us, and see what they're like. And if there's anything like me, you're fighting. Now believe me, once you have given everything you've got, your heart, mind, body, and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, he changes a lot, and you realize that through the blood of Christ, you're free. Shall we pray? Holy Father, speak to each one of us there, that our lives may be rededicated to you, that we may carry you forth with us, that we may wait upon the direction of the Holy Spirit in everything we do, say, and think. And we ask in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.